You would all turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. That's where we'll be today. We'll be there again tonight, but we'll be there right now as well. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Verse 13. In that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. This is about the cross, etc. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still and looking sad, one of them named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And even besides all of this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, and this is Jesus now speaking, and he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Beginning with the Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. So that as they drew near to the village which they were going, he appeared to be going on further. But they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when they were at the table, he took bread and blessed them and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon." And they told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I was going to get Terrell to pray for me as well, but he's already been praying here. So, well, let's just pray again. Lord, we ask your help this morning. And I agree with Terrell's prayer. And Father, we say amen. Well, we ask your help among us and your word would run. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Father. You can make it run. All right. See what else I drop here. Okay. The text this morning is that short sentence. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. The text reads, before that, their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus. they're on the road, and this man comes to them and joins them, and they didn't see him for who he was, and they start up a conversation, and the man seems unaware of the events that go on, and they tell him the events, and Jesus draws them out. He says, "What events?" And but it says they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Let me read to you from St. Augustine. I don't read much. I don't do a lot of quote reading here because I stumble about. But I think it was good what he said. When they didn't recognize Jesus, they hardly understood anything at that point. And listen to what St. Augustine says. He says, they were so disturbed when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross that they forgot his teaching. They did not look for his resurrection, and they failed to keep his promises in mind. Everything about that cross, it was just like an eraser had gone across their consciousness, and it was a shock at what happened. The last thing they imagined had happened. Now, we kind of beautify the cross, but it was not beautiful. It was horrible. Nothing about it was beautiful. It was heartrending. And so they didn't remember the promise that he had told them. Jesus was past recognition almost as he hung there. They had beat him and struck him, and he's this horrible thing. And on an earthly level, I find this often among us normal folks. You may know someone that has had to struggle with a long sickness with a loved one. And the sickness may drag on for years and be horrible, and everybody suffers. The poor person that's sick suffers, and the poor people that have to care for the sick person suffers. And it's almost like that young person, that person they loved, and the sweetheart that they were in love with, or the man they were in love with, that guy almost disappears in the face of that struggle. All they remember is those last trial. But those things are yet in us, but they're gone from our consciousness. And that's the way they felt they saw Jesus that day. He was in a slightly different form, the other Gospels say, but nevertheless, they did not recognize him. Even after a long conversation with him, even after he taught them scriptures, you know how many times they had heard Jesus teach scripture? Possibly thousands of times. And they didn't recognize him. Thomas, before the cross, had so believed in Jesus and who he was, he said to Jesus at one point, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be content with that." But Thomas had gripped the idea of who Jesus was enough to the point was he felt like Jesus, if he wanted to, would just could unveil the Father into the heavens. They could see him. And then Jesus says to him, of course, you know what he says. "Well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But Thomas believed. "Lord, just show us the Father, and boy, that'll be enough for us." But after the cross that had been scrubbed away from him, and he said, "I'm not believing unless I see it." The cross was a horrible experience. And it had scrubbed away, as St. Augustine says, they were so disturbed when they saw him hanging on the cross that they forgot his teaching. They did not look for his resurrection. and they failed to keep his promises in mind. And we can understand that. Hope you can understand it. Yet, he was made known to them in the simple breaking of bread. Now that is also amazing. They listened to him teach there on that road and share with them the scripture, and he opened up the scriptures to him, but that didn't do it. It was that evening when they'd gone into that house and they're praying over that meal. They saw him break the bread, and then they could see it. And then he was gone. Sometimes it's the simplest things, even on a human level, that wiggle themselves into our minds, that make someone, or mark someone off to us. You know, the way they hold their hands, maybe, or the way they touch their face when they speak, or some little gesture, and those are the things that kind of get into our mind. And you'd be surprised how many things that have wiggled themselves into your mind, and though you may not say you remember very much about a certain person, you do. I've had dreams about my mother, this Mother's Day, that were so wonderful, I wanted to go back to sleep. Just to try to go back to sleep and capture that again and dream some more. And those things had clawed their way, and those images had clawed their way on an earthly level into my mind, and in my mind, I could bring them back up. Have you ever had a dream like that? I bet you have. It's sometimes the simplest things that jar us, that can bring us to. And that's what happened with Jesus on that day. The simplest thing, that meal and the breaking of bread. I'm going to take a little opportunity, a selfish opportunity. My daughter Anna isn't here. I usually embarrass her. I try to do it. But maybe she could hear this. She wrote a little book. What's that say, everybody? Grandmother. Anna is kind of a literary of heart. She wrote a little book about my mama. There she is. And it's just about the remembrances of the grandchildren. Let me just say this. I just want you to know this is a very human thing. But then you add to it a supernatural level, and it's powerful. I remember her hands, though always busy and never still, would stretch out and hold anyone that needed or wanted attention. Those hands that sketched pictures and stuck them in the phone book and wrote little notes and put them on the refrigerator. Those hands that prepared many delicious meals and rubbed on tons of sunscreen. Those hands with long, beautiful fingers belonged to my grandmother. No matter how many things she had to do or how late she was to some event. My mother was always late, by the way, just like Anna, by the way. She would always reach out her hands to me. Now, these are the little remembrances. By the way, I have the same memory of my mother's hands. She told me that she had a secret code. She gave us a secret code. Just me. I didn't know she did it with. I haven't even asked the other kids, the other brothers and sisters, if she did that with them. But she told me once, she says, if I ever go over and squeeze your hand 3 times in a row, that means I love you. And I thought, wow, I've got a secret code. She may have said it to all of them. She could reach out in church and grab me by the hand and squeeze real hard, and I knew for a fact she wasn't saying, "I love you." She was saying, "Stop fidgeting." But at other times, in the same church, she would go, "I love you," and I'd look up at her. These are the things that, that weren't apparent at the end, but they've wiggled their thing into our minds, these memories in our minds. So, on a human example, that's what that is. But I am convinced that the repeated and often experience of a meal with Jesus had done that. They'd seen it often enough, and somehow it was endearing enough that all the Bible, Jesus taught a scripture to them. Have y'all ever been impervious to good teaching or good preaching? Just impervious. Just bounced off. And I tell you, what Jesus shared with them that day was good. But it just bounced off, and later on they would say, "Well, I bet your hearts were burning." But their heads didn't get a bit of it. But it is this repeated experience of Christ in the breaking of bread that brought the recognition. Now, one of the glories of the story about the road to Emmaus is the simplicity of it all. It's a simple story. Some people think it's such a beautiful, simple story that it's bound not to be true. My goodness, that's just the opposite. It's so glorious, you could just see it happening. So, Jesus blessed the bread, it says, and broke the bread. Just a little note here. When you bless something, the word bless could mean two things at least, and I think both have reality here. First of all, when you bless something, it could be a praise or giving of thanks. And I've been especially reminded of late that the prayer before a meal is very important. Very important. How can men learn to be thankful unless we are? How can our children learn that God blesses us unless we thank Him for His blessings? Or do we just go at it like hogs at a trough? So Jesus looked up and said, "Thank you." But it says blessing. He blessed it too. The other side, the other meaning there could be this. The blessing can impart some benefit to a thing or to a person. "Bless you, my son." That person that gives that, says that, is imparting some grace to somebody. Remember when the patriarchs would bless their children? He's imparting some grace to that child. And so when Jesus blessed the food, there's some sense that that food became holy and pure and good, besides just being good to eat. And we say it so often, "Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts for which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen." That is Catholic. Or we also say, "And bless these food to the nourishment of our body, and we to our, and us to your service." That's Protestant. But there's real reality to it if we would just think about it. And so Jesus blessed the food. When we ask a blessing, we are asking for God's touch. It's as simple and as profound is that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they were continually, that is the disciples, this is after the resurrection and Jesus had ascended into heaven. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and listen, to fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the whole group, it says, was having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding their number day by day, those who were being saved. Life was on the church. And one of the things about the church there in Acts was that they broke bread together, they had fellowship with one another, those two individual things, and they gave themselves to prayer. And the first one mentioned was the teaching of the apostles. What was going on in the book of Acts, and I think the breaking of bread, but early on, because of the disciples' experience, fixed itself in his church. And sometime a simple meal can be a holy thing. The saints experienced something more than mere camaraderie, which is fellowship, or religious solidarity, which is prayer. But they actually experienced Christ among them. It's supernatural stuff. Sometimes people are so worried about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that they don't want anything to do with the Holy Spirit at all. Or with something supernatural. They don't want any. They're so afraid of something like breaking out that they don't want anything to do with it. Christ indwelt the church in the very breaking of bread that Christ did with his first disciples just continued on. And it was an experience that Christ was among them. It was supernatural stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says when an unbeliever or an outsider comes into your fellowship and he hears what goes on, he says he will fall down on his face and will worship God, declaring that God is really, truly, actually among you. That verse just humbles me and makes it should renew our hearts for prayer for the church all across the earth, that God would renew that and bring it so. But it's also as simple and glorious as Jesus among his people blessing the bread and breaking it. Now, this should encourage us about the possibility of a supernatural life among us. That an act as simple as Jesus breaking the bread there at the end of that walk on the road to Emmaus was supernatural and glorious and revealing. That Christ can fill the smallest of events, the smallest of things, all the little things, by the way, that my sweet Anna wrote about her grandmother, all the things that she remembered, these are things that had wiggled their way into Anna's mind. But the sweetness about it all is all these things can have meaning in our lives. The smallest things we do, the kindnesses we show, the little things we do. I just want just the tiniest gesture can be filled with the God of heaven and be revealing of Jesus. Listen to what Peter said. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober of spirit for the purpose of prayer. And above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable with one another without complaint. Now that, we can all be hospitable. But when they're gone, we'll often complain about it. I don't know, why did he say that? It just made something so easy. We can be hospitable, but why did he throw in that without complaint business? Because God wants it to be supernatural. Something above what humans can do. We could all kind of drudge our way through the laws of God and the commands of God or the encouragement of the apostles, but to do it from a good heart, another thing altogether. Never mind, I'll keep reading here. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, and let each one who has received a special gift, and the word there is a charisma, a gift. And we're not, you know, it's funny. Well, I'm going to keep going. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold graces of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do it so as by the strength which God supplies. So that all things, all the things we do, the little ones, the big ones, the grand ones, the special ones, the common humdrum ones, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And so if it's just the mere breaking of bread, God can be in it. Or may I say, the weeding of a garden. The comments we make about our neighbor or don't make, God can be in it, and God can get glory in it. And so when Jesus broke that bread and he was recognized in it, it should give us hope that he could use us. Now, here we are on Mother's Day. Mothers and grandmothers. Some of us are brothers, some of us are sisters, some of us are fathers or uncles. Some of us are friends and comrades. Some of us are employees and colleagues. Can we not grasp it and see it that he could so fill our lives that the smallest things can give glory to him? He's always there to fill it. And I think that's half of what's wrong with me. I walk around like the disciples, dumb as a post at the possibilities of him filling my life to the glory of God. Terrell, how dumb can a post be? Pretty dumb. But he can fill us. He can fill the smallest actions, the humdrum, the tedium of our lives with his grace. And he could be made known among us even in something as simple as breaking bread. As that great sermon goes, the title of that great sermon is and goes, no little people, no little places, no little events, no little task, no little words. Whew. Christ in us, among us. This is God's will to transcend our normal lives, our normal meals, into something supernatural. You know, I think this, I'm going to go back to the charismatic movement a minute. One thing that they did seem to grasp, or do seem to grasp, is this is a supernatural business, our faith. I don't hear anybody saying amen, but it's a supernatural, that's the goal of it. Listen, the Muslims pray 7 times a day. They have meals together. They listen to Scripture. God isn't in it. The point is, these things God would fill with Himself. And Jesus would be made known by something as simple as the breaking of bread. Did you know the angels strain to watch us? I believe it. Just to see signs of the Son of God in our lives and to marvel over it. You could be all by yourself, and you need to realize that all of heaven watches. Scripture says we are a spectacle. I think you may say, I'm just sanding the table. You know, I got the table at a garage sale, and I'm just out here sanding it. No little people. No little places, no little events, no little actions, all of it, He can be among us. I think we just don't give Him the space. Scripture says, and Lebeth said, we all know this, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Individually, each body in this room. I'm pointing to everyone. The Holy Spirit, God would have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, live within us and inhabit us. And we would be a transition, or a place, a person, a group of people wherein people, other people, can meet God, rub up against Him, and touch Him, or hear Him, or feel His touch, His squeeze of our hand. I just think we have the highest calling. There's nothing greater than to be called a child of God. And only God can make us fit for it. And so my prayer is that may He, Jesus of Nazareth, get fame and glory, and may His glory spread far and wide via His people and His church. May He be seen in the breaking of bread, something as simple as that. Okay, let's pray again. Father, we thank You for this morning and Your word. Father, we pray that You'd meet with us again this evening. And Lord Jesus, we live such a lowly life when we could walk in the heavens, as it were. Father, though the world may be deaf to the teachings of the gospel and the preaching of the word, Father, may they see You in us in the simplest actions, in the smallest things. Father, we pray the world would see your Son among your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.